natural ears. We're talking about those supernatural ones you get from the ghost. Amen?
Amen.
So my prophesying to you is that you will have ears to hear. And eyes to see what God wants you to glean this morning as we come to celebrate Him and to have the impartation of the ghost. We stirred also up the ghost when you did that shaking. And you're full in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
And we want to keep you full this morning. Amen. Children, be blessed. God bless our Sunday school teachers.
Yes.
Thank you for the anointing that goes with that group. Childlike faith. Thank you, Pastor Randy and Lisa, for being such excellent examples of fathering and mothering children. I just love to see the children want to enter in. The Bible says, out of the mouth of babes and suckling, God perfects His praise. And they're up here and watching Mom and Dad lull them, but keeping them in check. So bless your heart. What a blessing to have kids that love to be in church, love to be a little active. That's all right. Some of us, I relate to my own self as a kid. I had to sit tight and not say or do anything because I had a mom and dad on the end of us six kids looking down and giving me the old eye. It sounds like some of you can relate with that. Amen. I'm going to ask your swords that you got with you this morning. If you turned, I'm going to lay a foundation that I believe what I'm sharing this morning is going to just enhance your lives, and that's why we're here. I believe probably everybody in here is saved, so it's not like we got to give an altar call, although there could be some tuning in that don't know Jesus, and we believe that God has had them tuned in for that reason. But I'm going to start you in Psalms, Psalms chapter 37, and I want to talk about allowing the ghost to lead us. Now, you know, a few weeks ago I started with this knowing the ghost. Now, again, for those that may be tuning in for the first time, there's 126 interpretations of the ghost. In other words, what that word means. We commonly say the Holy Spirit, or we say the Spirit, or we say the Teacher, or the Comforter, or the Counselor. If you go through the Old Covenant and New Covenant, there's 126, and it still refers to the ghost. And the ghost I'm talking about isn't Casper, the little friendly ghosts, or the ghosts of whoever's past. I'm talking about the ghost.
Amen.
Called the Holy Ghost that lives in each and every one of you that's a believer this day. So today we're going to tune in to be led by that ghost. And also let you realize you're being led whether you realize it or not. You might have been voluntarily choosing to come to church, but I'm here to tell you, I'll start out right now, that you don't always have that volunteer choice. Many times you'll find there's a leading to do this or that. You're not even thinking about it. And you're right where God wants you. Most of you, that happened when you got here. Amen? Praise God. So in Psalms chapter 37, the psalmist says this. I'm going to pick it up in verse 23. And it says, "The steps of a good man and woman are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. Though that believer may fall, they will not be cast down, for the Lord upholds them in His hand. I have been young, and now I'm older, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken," or I could say the believers forsaken, "nor his descendants." Here's a stand on believing for your family, "or the descendants that were not blessed." So you represent a whole line of people that are going to be blessed because of your decision to make Jesus Christ your Lord. Proverbs chapter 16 says this. Verse 9. One verse. "A believer's heart plans their way, but the Lord directs your steps."
Yes, sir.
Now I'm going to get back to that voluntary and involuntary steps. Some we have a choice, and others we didn't realize that the Lord does something for us. We can set the premise right now. You didn't choose Him, He chose you. And when He chose you, He set things up to get to you. Now, yes, at that point to get to us, not everybody may decide to want to accept the Lord. But I'm telling you, you didn't have too much to do with Him getting you into position to make Him Lord. And let me continue. Romans chapter 8. Let me go to the new covenant. The believers in Rome. Romans 8, beginning at verse 14. And the Bible says this. As many believers are led by the Ghost of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. Now, before I go on any further, I want you to look at it in a light that maybe you never did, because I didn't look at it in this light. I used to look at it in the light, well, I got to make sure I'm led. I got to make sure I'm doing so that I'll be led by the Spirit so I can be a son and daughter. What I'm telling you, when you're a believer, you're being led by the Spirit of God. And yes, there are times when you're going to get a choice in different things, and that's where we get into trouble as believers. But I'm telling you, you were led by a living God, and He's got your best interest and those around you's best interest at stake. Stay with me. A lot of you look like you were a raccoon in headlights. Verse 15 says this, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage to fear, but you received the ghost of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The ghost himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And you became a child of God when you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. And if children, we are now heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we are suffering with him, that we also will be glorified together." Look at me, when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, boom, you're in the kingdom. You are now going to be led by the Ghost who lives inside you. Sometimes you're not going to realize the leading, and that's okay. You can involuntarily be led. But I'm telling you, he will not involuntarily lead you to anything that violates the Word of God. But in the voluntary stage, which we'll get to, there's where our choices come in, and that's where we can get into trouble. Not going to hell, we get into trouble of not receiving kingdom life on earth as it already is in heaven. Amen. But I want you to know how big your God is that lives inside you, that even when you don't realize it, He's leading you in places for your good. Amen. And your benefit. And your blessing. And so, you ever go through some suffering and hardships? And if you say no, I've got a place in heaven already for you. But the answer is yes. Many are the afflictions of righteous men and women of God. But the Lord delivers us out of them all. He is our deliverer. Stay with me. For I consider these sufferings or trials and temptings and in this present time is not worthy to be compared with the manifested presence which the Lord is revealing in us. Say, I've got His presence in me. For earnest expectations of creation is eagerly waiting for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God. Yep. Look at me, church. Everything created has life to it. I'm talking about every insect, every animal, every tree, every vegetable, every fruit has life in it. Scientists say that. It's all God's creation. But within the makeup of creation itself, it does not have in itself the ability to be delivered. That has been given to the children of God. And they have been waiting for the sons and daughters to take their place and set them free. You want to know about global warming? Let me tell you about the church warming that's going to set the nation and the world free. Because all creation has been waiting for the sons and daughters to be revealed. Stay with me. For creation itself, listen to this, was subject to weakness. Not willingly. Those trees and those insects and those animals didn't willingly subject to weakness. But because of Him, subjected it to them in hope. And the hope is there's a rising within the world called the church of the living God. That's a rising up and taking back what already rightfully belongs to the body of Christ, which is creation itself. That's why when you're out in the woods or when you're walking on a beautiful day, that's why you can feel the glory of the Lord, because you have risen to the place that you not only encourage and enjoy it, but you begin to take authority over the elements, whatever they might be, pollution or whatever you want. We've got the power within us. It's called the ghost. Because creation is going to be delivered from the enslavement of this corruption, of this glorious freedom by the children of God. Amen. All creation that was created by God way back in the garden that became captive to the devil through the devil and his sources, Jesus liberated when he went to the cross, and he gave us the ability now to live in what they had purposed in the garden. He gave it back to the body of Christ. As he gave us the ghost who brought the kingdom, and the kingdom within has everything that pertains to life and godliness, not just for us, but for creation itself. Yes. That's why they're rejoicing in their own way, and the trees clap their hands, and the animals lap the water in it. I'm telling you, there's been a cry for creation waiting for those in authority to take back what's rightfully ours, in Jesus' name. Amen. 22 says, "For we know that the whole creation has been groaning and laboring in birth pangs until now." Now, this may have been written a while ago to the church of Rome, but God changes not. He's the same today. There's a cry in the communities and so forth of the creation itself because the church is coming alive. We're stopping fighting one another over stupid stuff, and we're realizing there's only one body of Christ, and Jesus is the head, and he's given the body, us, the ghost, to be in peace with humanity, doing good to all, but especially to the body of Christ, whether they go to Shield of Faith or they go to this church or that church, or maybe they're having home church, the same ghost that come into me is into them. And it's being awakened. Men and women of God are coming out of the closet. Yeah. They're realizing we don't have to hide what's already inside us. Right. Amen? Yep. So, we see this. We understand this. Now, let me show you how much you're loved by the ghost. And remember, the ghost only shows us what Jesus said, and Jesus only did what the Father said. So you can't separate Father, Son, and ghost, or Holy Ghost. They are one. Amen? Amen. Just like you can't separate your soul, your spirit, and your flesh. They're all one. You take away any of those, and you're not here.
That's right.
You take any part of God away, and it's not God. Right. The God we serve is the Father, Son, and the ghost. Amen. The Son gave up his deity to become like you and I, but he still got that back, and he's God, just like the Spirit in you is God. Amen? So, let me tell you. Now, I don't care if you remember these four D's that I'm going to share, but I want you to understand the heartbeat of how much you're loved by God himself. The first area that most people don't understand, and it's a very hard thing to try to figure out, it's decrees that the living God has made into life. It's God's sovereign design circumstances that gets us where the ghost wants us for our good and others. He is working all the time to position us as believers where we need to be for our good and the good of others. Illustration in Acts, when Paul and Silas did not choose to be in the inner court darkness in jail. They did end up in there. But it's because that's exactly where the ghost wanted them, and they never questioned. It says they were at midnight just singing and making melody in the heart. Most people would say, "Oh my gosh, why? I thought God loved me. I'm in the inner court of jail itself. Oh my gosh." But as they sang and worshiped, supernaturally, the chains fell off. And the jailer and his household were saved. If the ghost had not led Paul and Silas into that position, remember, he always leads us to be a blessing to us and to be a blessing to others. Some might say, how much of a blessing was that for Paul and Silas to be in the inner dungeons? I'm telling you what, when you understand this, that God is looking to use you to bless others, it is truly true of the spirit of Christmas. It's better to give than to receive. There is something that blesses your heart when you see how you've been used to be help to bless somebody, and maybe you didn't even start out that way, but it ended up that way. You're blessed and they're blessed. That's the nature of God. His whole thing is to bless others, and because of that, he gets blessed. So, let me give you an example. When you get saved and you become righteous and you get the ghost, do we have everything fixed where we just always do everything right? We don't, do we? Let me show you how this works. We know with a ghost you get all the fruit of the Spirit. Do you know one of the fruit is patience? The Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Okay? For those trials worketh faith. Have faith that's full thing that you develop patience, that you be fully complete. When you enter into the kingdom, if you struggle with patience, let me tell you how it works, how the ghost works. You're not making these choices, and you're ending up behind every slow car, and you have to get on a deadline. You hit every red light. And if there's a train track, I remember one time we had to get to something and we took off from here and we went down a couple streets, I think it was River Road, we're supposed to meet somebody there, and sure enough, there was a train. And I'm thinking, well, it can't be too long a train, and this train was going so slow and then it was stopping. And we're thinking here, my gosh, we got to get there, you know, our name's at stake and all this. And then I see the caboose and it gets to this place where it's almost gone and lo and behold, it stops. And it starts backing up. See, you guys have had that happen. And I thought to myself, thank you, God. You're working patience out. This is where the ghost sets things up in our lives that helps us get stronger because he knows what we need. I didn't choose to get behind every slow driver. I'm not choosing every red light. When we come to church, I'm telling my wife, we got to believe for that one light we got to get through, because if we don't get through it, it will be red for a long, long time. Yes, this is a truth that happens. Let's say you deal with anger. When you become righteous and you get the ghost, anger doesn't just, boop, it's always gone. You're going to run into everybody that thinks you're too slow. They're going to be honking at you. You're going to get flipped off by people you don't know. And the whole issue is to get us to realize, I have got to get that under control because I got to be able to smile in the midst of people are trying to get me mad. And anger is a spirit, and it will always try to take charge. And just because you're a believer, the ghost knows that needs to be fine-tuned. And he will lead us into every circumstance that we need. The trying of the Lord worketh faith and patience. Let it have its full work, that you will be wanting and complete in all ways. How many don't want to be complete in all ways? So we've got to allow the ghost to lead us. And we don't always make the choices, but he knows what's going to make us better. How about some of you guys that got saved and all of a sudden you learned the principle of giving? Or you're going to now, you've determined you as a family are going to be a tither. I can almost tell you that if you have issues with money, the minute you make that up, you're going to have every unexpected bill come in. You're going to all of a sudden be threatened that you're not going to be able to pay this or you're going to lose this. You're going to have every money issue crop up right at that time so you don't. And where God, by the power of the Ghost in you is leading you to this place where you have to trust Him. So I'm telling you, all of us went through that. When you got to that place, it didn't just, oh my gosh, it was so easy to give. It was so easy to be patient. No, we counted all joy. Because then the Lord has something to work with. He says, oh, here's my son, my daughter, that's allowing me to lead them into places to make them better. And you know what? When they're better, they help others get better.
Yeah, good, Pastor. Good. Good.
So there are decrees. They're not always easy to go through. But I'm here to tell you, you don't have to try to figure it out because the Ghost is going to work on your good. Because He's working on behalf of Godhead good. So whatever you need help in, if you have a hard time with forgiving people, those people are going to probably cross your path all the time. Until you get to that peace and realize, you know what? I'm tired of hiding or pretending I don't see the very people that I need to forgive. Because He wants you to be a better person. We're supposed to do good unto all, but especially to those in the household of faith. So I'm here to tell you that the Ghost loves you so much, He's going to allow you to be tried and tempted. Let me give you something that maybe you never saw it in this light. In Luke chapter 4, right after Jesus come out of the Jordan River, remember He was baptized by John? It says in Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, it says, Jesus was led by the Ghost into the wilderness to be tried and tested for 40 days. I'm looking at that in a whole different light. Remember, Jesus gave up His deity to be like you and I? Could He have chosen not? Now, I don't want you to answer because I don't want you to feel bad if I don't see it maybe like what you think. But if you think that He was so super sensitive and the Ghost was right there talking to Him and He was just following His orders, I don't think so. I think the Ghost led Him into the wilderness that He did not know where He was going, but He was going in the wilderness to be tried and tested 40 days and 40 nights by the devil. Because the Ghost knew it wasn't just for Jesus' good. If He's going to tell us later on we're going to do the things He did and greater, then we have to be able to pass the same test that Jesus. If Jesus was somehow directed and He was all God when He was on earth, that's not fair. But He gave that deity up to be like you and I so He could be tried and tested. I believe the Ghost led Him out in the wilderness so that the same devil or demons or powers of darkness that we deal with right now, that we come to a place to understand, you know what? I don't know how I got here. I didn't think I chose a bad choice, but I'm here. There could be something God wants to do powerfully in your lives. Let's continue in that Luke chapter 4. He resisted the devil in four major areas of temptation by the word of God, and it said He came out in the power. We want the power, but we don't want the test.
Come on, Pastor.
We want to be mighty warriors in God's world. We don't want to go through basic training.
Come on, bro.
Because basic training is hard, and you're kicked on, and you're beat up. And I remember I wanted to enjoy it, and I thought I was real tough. Basic training taught me I wasn't as tough as I thought I was. Big time wrestler and all this. Oh, man, I can't wait. And then you realize it's not fun. But I'm telling you, every one of these warriors that we honor now that have been over in Afghanistan or Iraq, or even if they've been protecting our borders down there, were trained up, and that training was not fun. But if they had not done the training, they couldn't have come out in the power. I didn't have ammunition when I'm going through basic training except on the firing range, and then they only counted how many rounds they gave you, and it wasn't very many. But I'm telling you what, when you come out in the power, you get a number, you get even clips of rounds. I'm telling you, the Lord has directed believers' lives into what we think is, how did I get in this wilderness? Why is everything going so bad? Just look at God's got you someplace, He's fine-tuning you, and you're going to come out in the glory.
Amen.
And you're going to come out in the power.
Amen.
And when you realize He's got your back and He's got your good, then we don't take it so bad. And you don't think you're getting beat up. So look at it in that light. If we're going to do the things that Jesus did, and he had the ghost inside him, and the ghost took him out in the wilderness, I'm telling you, look at it again. I don't think he knew where he was going, but he knew he had a ghost inside him that would not lead him astray. Because he only did and said what he heard the Father through the power of God inside him. No matter how hard your life's been, the journey you've gone through, the good news is if you made Jesus Christ your Lord, you may not know how you got there. I'm talking about involuntary. And it seems like everything is caving in. I'm telling you what, it's just caving to make a strong foundation because you're going to come out as a mighty man and a woman of God. And you're going to do mighty exploits because you've weathered through the test. Let me give you one that's a little bit easier of how we're led by the ghost. And that would be through direction. How many know it says, don't kill, don't steal, don't lie? That doesn't take much to figure that out. So the ghost says, don't steal, don't kill, don't lie, and there's a whole bunch of other things. Don't abuse your body and all this. These are directions. It doesn't take even any discernment. You can read that, and so you implement it. And if we don't implement it, we don't get the results from it. If you don't work, you don't eat. It's just an ongoing process of everything reproduces after its own kind. Direction is, if you don't kill, you're not going to be killed. If you don't lie, people aren't going to lie to you. You're going to reap what you sow. It's direction. It's an easy path. Like, again, whether or not you know decree, direction, I'm just wanting you to realize that the ghost leads us in ways we know and other ways just for our good.
Yes, sir.
And it's also, in all ways, it's really good. So that's where many times we'll say, you already know right from wrong. You ask believers, do you know right from wrong? They'll know right from wrong. That's because they got directions. Either they were taught that by their parents or they were taught that in school. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Now, whether or not people do that, now listen, it's an easy thing to know. But if you're given and you're addicted to areas in your life that you already know are destructive, it is a challenge. And you need the ghost help to get you through those things. And we can't take it lightly. But we also know until we get through that decree and we stop lying or cheating or not forgiving, we know we're going to reap that. Listen, you're not reaping to go to hell. You're still going to heaven. But God has come that you'd have life on earth as it already is in heaven. That's why we should be the happiest, most excited people on earth, because Jesus was, and the Father God gave us the ghost, so we would.
Amen.
So it's easy to know your choices. Now, whether or not we make the right choices, again, the third area, this area is not as easy. It's called discernment. We don't have a clear thing of what it's telling us. It's kind of like Romans 12:2 that says, get your minds renewed to what? The Word of God. Be sensitive. When we say stay ever full, we're not sure exactly what it's going to take. We try not to conform. It's kind of like you go into the hospital. And if you've come here, you know you got the same ghost. So you can have believers lay hands on the sick and they what?
Heal.
Recover. But the discernment is, is this somebody you want me to? Do you say lay hands on everybody? Is this you're going to lay hands on? You're going to anoint with oil? You're going to pray the prayer of faith? Are you going to fast? Because we know throughout there's a lot of scriptures and all those. This kind goeth out only with prayer and fasting. So you know there's certain. What Holy Ghost do you want? This is what I suggest. If you don't know, you go back to Romans 8 and you pray in your Holy Ghost language. I don't know how to pray as I know, but the ghost does and gives me a language that I don't understand, but the ghost does because he says you pray according to the will. This is Romans 8. Read on beyond where I did in 21 through 28. And 28 ends up, everything works together for good that love God. But it'll tell you that that's where we rely. We're discerning. We don't know, is this how you want me to approach this person? So we ask the ghost, Let me just share why it happens that way. If all we did all the time was to lay hands on somebody and they would be healed, we would not be focusing on the Lord. We'd be focusing on the system.
That's good.
And we'd all do the same system. We'll all lay hands. But the Lord wants you to trust Him and let Him lead you. That's why Jesus healed and did things so many different ways. One time He grabbed mud and spit in it and made mud, and He put on a blind eye, and they were made whole. Now, you tell me you want to make sure you got discernment. Next time you go to a blind person and you grab some clay, spit in it, make mud, and put it in their eyes, because if it isn't being led by the ghosts, you're going to have one mad person. And God isn't going to necessarily be blessed. I mean, he loves us no matter what, but He's not going to say, "Oh, that's just what I wanted you to do." Kenneth Hagin used to do, he was led by the ghost one time to punch this guy that had this big growth in his stomach. The ghost came on right then at that moment and said, "Punch him in the gut." And he punched him and it just dissolved. Then I heard testimonies of people trying that and it didn't work. Or even the dead will rise up. When we read about Smith Wigglesworth and all the different ones that were legally dead, one in a caravan, a processional they call it. And he jerked that individual out of the casket and threw that person how many times? 3 or 4 times up against the wall and commanded life. And the 4th time life came. You better discern, is that ghost or is that my macho-ness? Because your macho-ness isn't going to raise anybody from the dead, because it's the ghost that raises. The same ghost that raised Jesus from the dead, if He dwells in us, we can do the same things He did, but we still have to be led by Him so that we don't get into a religious traditional pattern. We do the same thing all the time, and we never give any freedom to the ghost to tell us what He wants us to do for this person, because you know what? You're all wired differently.
Amen.
And you all didn't receive the Lord the same way. And it took different things that the ghost set up to get you to a place where you're here today thanking God that you're into the kingdom.
Amen.
And that's no different for anybody else. And you know what? No matter how you came isn't going to necessarily be the way others are going to come.
Amen.
But the ghost is going to lead you. It may be just being a friend to somebody, telling them something that you like about them. The other way that's very easy, I give you too hard, too easy. It's called declarations. Turn to Acts chapter 8. When the Lord declares something. Acts chapter 8. Look with me to verse 26. And we pick up the scenario. Christ is preached to the Ethiopian. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go forward to the south road, which goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert." Okay. If you have an angel shows up to you and tells you where you need to go, I'm telling you, that's not going to be a hard choice. Yes, sir, or yes, I hear you. Look at verse 29. Then the ghost said to Philip, this isn't discerning, this is saying, "Go near, overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him, heard him reading the prophet, and ends up getting him water baptized. Okay, but what I'm saying is, if the ghost through an angel speaks a direct line from heaven, that's not going to be too hard to be obedient to, especially when you realize this person is not a natural type of person. Most people that encounter angels, they'll say, "Well, I didn't know they were an angel, but they knew something was different. Man, I felt a peace." And then I'll hear stories of, and then that person was gone, but it got me where I needed to go. That is when the Lord gives a decree. All these 4 areas are ways the Spirit, the ghost, is trying to lead believers. And it's up to us to realize. Now, let me throw this out to you, because I want to go back to Romans 8, and I'm going to finish with this thought. Because I didn't let you answer. when I said, you think Jesus could have said no to that. So let me ask you, because we try to figure God out. Can God do everything? You don't have to answer that. The Bible says it's impossible for God to what?
Lie.
Yeah. In our natural way of thinking, yeah, he could lie. It's impossible. So I want you to see it in the supernatural. If it's impossible for our God to lie, he's not going to lie. He's just not going to. So don't try to figure out, oh, but he could, couldn't he? And no. So what I'm saying is, could the ghost lead Jesus and him not know where he's going? Yes. Would the ghost ever lead Jesus to a place that would be destructive to him and others? No. If you look at every example where Jesus ended up, he would be, it said the ghost would lead him out in the mountain or whatever to pray. He'd come out. And it just so happened that wherever he went, a boat was there or whatever. It's because the ghost was leading Jesus to where he needed to be at the right time so he could get into a boat and go out and do his thing, and even to the point where he does that for you and for I. He is looking to position things into your life to get you to this place he wants you to be at. It could be to share him with somebody that needs to hear about him, but it might just be a place he wants you to be because he's planning something that don't try to figure it out, but it's exciting to know that he does that.
Yes.
That's why I tell people, so how you doing, Pastor? I'm not talking about you all. I said there's never a dull moment in the body of Christ. Because I don't know where he's going to, but I tell my wife, I says, man, you always look forward to going to church. I do. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't have this plan. Well, we know we have a business meeting on Monday, but we don't always know where that's going to go. But you don't know what's going to happen and who you're going to have. God's going to position you someplace to help somebody, to encourage somebody. And there's nothing greater feeling than to be used to help others. It keeps your eyes off you and where it needs to be. Jesus kept his eyes off himself, kept it on others, whether he was building a bridge with wine bibbers, whether he was eating with the gluttons. He didn't focus on their weaknesses. He was sensitized to be where he was to be, so God, the Father, the ghost within him could be used to set people free. And when we study Jesus, we realize in his hometown, they knew him as a kid. He could do very little. Well, someone says, couldn't he do it all? Listen, he could do very little. The reason why he could do very little, now we can use the big spiritual because they didn't have faith and all that, because the ghost was not manifesting in that region for a reason. There is a lesson for us to be learned. If your biological family are the toughest ones for you to get through to, you're in good company because that was your Lord and Savior Jesus. The ghost allowed that to be printed so we would realize Jesus could do very little in his hometown. Now, I'm not saying that's everybody. We moved out of my home, my wife and I's hometown, almost when we got married, and we only go back to visit. But you will find his history of being a pastor for a number of years, people have the hardest time with their biological family. And if they work someplace and then got saved, the second hardest place is in that same place in which they used to be idiots in, and now you're saved because they remember the idiot.
Amen.
So don't be frustrated. You got to build some bridges, and maybe it's not going to be you that's going to set them idiots that you as an idiot got set free. They will. But it is a hard thing to win your family to the Lord or to win co-laborers to the Lord if they knew the old you. It took years for me as one of six kids. And you hear when my dad, and he's still kicking it, 97, when he was here, I was the least choice to be in this role. And it took a little bit of time after I got hit with the ghost himself and so forth for him to realize, I'm for real. I really do love people. Because he knew the old me. And because of him and mom went to a deeper level. I was raised Christian, but they got filled with the Holy Ghost, and so did all my brothers and sisters after we got hungry as the renegade of the kids. Thank God the ghost put me into a school system and ran me into some unfire kids in school that directed me, and thank God for the Dow medical plant that directed, when she says, we're hungry, where do we go? They directed her and told her to go to this church that we had knew nothing about. That we could get in the midst of 600 people and say, this can't be real. No one can love the Lord like this, because we love the Lord, but not like this. Slippery slope. Our parents weren't telling us to go here. My co-laborers weren't. And when you got saved, your best ministry is going to be people a lot like you were, because you can relate with them. Take this out of today. You don't control the ghost. He controls you. Oh yeah, you can make right choices. We still have that element. But the leading in these involuntary positionings, it's for your good. And if you start getting caught behind every red light, and if you get behind every train, look to heaven and thank God, I'm going to pass this test. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we do thank you that as we come as brothers and sisters, we had ears to hear and eyes to see. And I thank you for everyone that tuned us in this morning, whenever you viewed this. And I pray right now, and we're believing for everyone that's tuned this day in, that if you've not made Jesus Christ your Lord, do so. Because this ghost is beautiful. And he will set you not only free, but he will lead you into places that will be great. And all it is saying, Jesus, I receive you. I'm tired of running into walls and not knowing how to get out of it. I accept you today as Lord and Savior. Come into my life. And then I pray that you'll connect to a local church that will encourage you and give you a little pat on the back when you need it and encourage you to get up. And know this, if this is the day you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, that ghost that comes within you will never leave you. He has your back, he's got your front, he's got your sides, and he's looking to show himself mightily in your life, how young you are in the Lord, or how old you are in the Lord. Because there is no age in the kingdom, in Jesus' name. Father God, I thank you as we go from this facility, that you will lead my brothers and sisters by the power of the ghost within to be sensitized to your leading and your guidance. And we give you all the praise and all the glory, and all of us in agreement said, amen. Amen. Greet one another. Love on one another. If you need special prayer, come. We'll pray.